This past week, I was away for some training. I go away a couple times a year, and it's with other priests from all over the country, around Chicago. So people fly from the West Coast and from the East Coast, and some of us just drive, but we all get there together, and we have this week of training. And it's always a blessed time to be with brother priests, some who are like me and around the same age, and, you know, we have that kind of the chat that only priests can have with one another, and we get ideas from one another, we learn and we grow together, and we celebrate Mass together, which you've probably never experienced before, but it's pretty remarkable. It's like a chapel, not too big, and like 90 priests celebrating the Mass. There's only like a few other non-priests in the room. A religious sister and a few other lay women who help out with the training. But it's pretty remarkable to hear all those voices and to be there together in that one priesthood of Jesus. But then I always come back and there's a bit of a experience of now it's back to my family, back to the real world, right? This is the way things usually are. I'm not usually celebrating Mass with a huge congregation of other ordained priests. There's usually just one or two of us up here, and then you out there. And this is more of the real world. And this is a blessed thing. It's something I always look forward to come back to. Actually, Friday, after I'd driven home some 6 hours, I just rested a little bit at the rectory, and then I was back out. And then for the rest of the evening, I was with some of my lay friends, five married couples whom I've grown in friendship and love with over these last 6 years. And we visit with one another. I'm able to be with them about 6 or 7 times a year. And we always go to their homes. They rotate around and divide up the different meal responsibilities and such. I never have to bring any food, which is great. but I bring something else. I'm their chaplain. And so these married couples with their families, I've been able to walk with them for some 6 years. And most of the time when I'm with them, we're able to celebrate Mass. They're in their homes, which is such a special thing. You know, the homes, that environment, you let your hair down, if you have any. And you're comfortable. It's the place where you chase your kids and you play and you argue and you forgive one another. And there in their living rooms, we have Mass. We share the Eucharist. We have this act of worship and prayer together. And then we share a meal. We go to the dinner table and we just go around and we share highs and lows from the last month or two and since we had been together. And it's always a great thing for me to enter into. You know, the other 10 people around the table, they're married, they have families. Between the five couples, there's like 21 kids or so. So a lot of life, a lot of vigor. We're all around the same age. But we get to hear from one another. It's a blessing, actually. I'm godfather to a couple of the kids, and I've baptized a few of the others. And so for me as the chaplain to just be part of that normal, real life. And what I appreciate about them is the way that they live a discipleship with Jesus just in the real world. They're normal people with normal families. They work in hospitals. One's a firefighter. Some of them work in schools. Some of them are stay-at-home moms. Some of them work with computer technology. Like, they do just normal jobs. They're in normal situations throughout their day. They have normal families, and they have normal highs, and they have normal lows. And just to be able to share in those together as friends. And I share mine. I'm the only priest in the group, but I share the moments over the last few months that have been real highs for me. And sometimes that have been lows for me. And it's this beautiful exchange, the priest with his lay friends. And like I said, this is probably more of the normal life, especially in our day and age, in our world, there's fewer of me and there's more of you. And that's not such a bad thing. But the world has had kind of a transition and a change. Even looking at the history of the church, there's been age after age, epoch after epoch, and each has a different flavor. Each has a different gift for the world. You look all the way back to the early church, we get a glimpse of it today in the Acts of the Apostles, and it really was an apostolic age. It was the age of the apostles. These men here who are on our stained glass windows, the age really flowed from them and their witness, the ways that they followed Jesus, and then they went on and founded the early infant church. And we hear about three of the guys in our windows, Peter over here, Philip back there, and John over here. We hear about three of the apostles in the Acts of the Apostles today. First, it was Philip. Philip, he went down to Samaria. He was preaching. He was healing. He was bringing paralyzed people and crippled people back to right health, exorcising demons of those who were possessed. And so he was going out on mission, and Jesus had sent him to do this special mission, and now he's going in fulfilling it. And then you have Peter and John. They're a little bit later in the story, and they go, and they start laying hands on people. Some people had become Christians, but they hadn't known the gift of the Holy Spirit. And so Peter and John, they went out, and as those witnesses of Christ, they lay hands on the people. And the people receive the Holy Spirit. They become full members of Christ's body. God begins to dwell in the people in a real and a special way. And this is the first age of the church, the age of the apostles. Those 12 who were sent out on mission and who went to the four corners of the earth and literally transformed the world. But it wasn't the only age of the church. It was just the first. There were other ages that came after it. You think of the monasteries. Once Christianity was legalized throughout the world, then it began to take deeper root, and they built churches and monasteries, monks and sisters and brothers, they began to live a consecrated life in the world. And there was a real era of the church that was led by the monastic movement, Saint Benedict and Scholastica and all these early monastics, these consecrated men and women living in the world, consecrating the world, sanctifying it, making it holy. And they built civilizations and they ruled the day. If you were to think of the church in that era, you couldn't but think of the monasteries and these consecrated men and women. And there were other ages when diocesan priests like myself, they really were the ones driving and advancing the mission of Jesus. But today, it's a bit different. It's what it is, and it's the way that God has led the church to where we are in the 21st century. And what would we call the era of today? I'd say that it's the era of the laity, the lay persons, men and women who are married or single and living in the world. And these are the ones I think Jesus calling today to especially advance his mission. Certainly, there are still apostles. We have the bishops. There are priests. There are monks, religious sisters and brothers. But over the last 100 years, the church has really recognized the world is changing, and the world needs to be sanctified in a new way, in a fresh outpouring of the Spirit. And it's not going to happen maybe as readily by the priests and the bishops and the monks and the sisters and what happens up here in the sanctuary. Maybe the Lord wants to sanctify the world through you, through men and women living in the world, living married lives, living consecrated vocations in a different type of way. And I really see the Lord moving in this way. The popes over the last 100 years have spoken about this, and the Second Vatican Council some 60 years ago. This is the way the movement of the Spirit has continued to evolve in the church, inviting more into the sanctification of the world. It's not just the apostles and the bishops anymore, the ones in our windows, but they're the ones who have advanced the cause of Christ and now passed it on. And you even see this in our other readings. Peter and John, they were in the Acts of the Apostles reading at the beginning. Well, we hear from Peter in the second reading and John in the Gospel. Peter, in the second reading, he speaks very specifically to you. He says, "Beloved, sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts." Sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts. That the Lord wants to dwell in you. He wants to sanctify you so that you would sanctify the world. He doesn't just want to sanctify us here at church. He wants to sanctify us so that we would be holy out there, and that the Lord would use our witness and our lives to sanctify the world. In regular jobs, blue collar, white collar, at City Hall, in schools and hospitals, and as plumbers and teachers, in different jobs and different professions, and in different ways, the Lord wants to sanctify those areas of our ordinary lives. As mothers, as fathers, as grandparents, He wants to sanctify the hearts of all the church so that you would go out and sanctify the world. That's what Peter says to us today. And then John, in a very similar way, he quotes Jesus here at the Last Supper and Jesus' call and reminder that we are all connected with the Blessed Trinity. That Jesus himself, he says, "I am in the Father, and you are in me, and I am in you." That Jesus is connected to us. And being connected to Jesus connects us to his Father. And then he talks about the Holy Spirit. He says, "I'll ask the Father, and he'll give you another advocate, the Holy Spirit, to be with you always." The Holy Spirit, the Father, Jesus, they're not just with us when we're here. They're with us always. They're with us when we're at home, when we're with our families, when we're in our jobs, maybe when we're in the grocery stores and the shopping malls, or when we're at school. The Blessed Trinity lives in us if we sanctify our hearts and call to mind the Lord never leaves us orphans. He never leaves us alone. But he calls us to be in communion with him so that we would go and make the world holy. And so this is what I want to charge you with, that you would take your vocations as seriously as I try to take mine, that we live a consecrated, sanctified life. That when we leave church and times of worship and prayer and adoration, we take the Lord with us. You take him with you today into your Mother's Day brunches and with your jobs that will go back tomorrow and with school and all these different ordinary actions of our lives, that you would sanctify those moments just as much as you sanctify this one. And so let's come to the Lord today, begging him for more. Asking him, make us holy, that we would be sent out and make the world holy.